Welcome to The Thriving Christian Artist, the podcast where we hope you connect with God to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live as an artist in His kingdom. I'm Matt Tama, your host. Let's get started. Well, hey there, my friend. It's Matt Tama, and I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. You know, one of the things that really can frustrate us as creatives is social media, all the variety of social media platforms that are out there, wondering how many times we should post, what we should post, how do we get in front of the right clients, all those sorts of things. And I've got a great interview today with my friend Heather Hyman, who is with Sweet Tea Social Media Marketing. I love that name. She's got a podcast, actually, that's called Business, Jesus, and Sweet Tea. I'm like, Lord help, how could we not be friends? She's an incredible authority on social media and especially on helping artists who are introverts. That's what we're talking about today. She really has a lot of great information on how to make the most of social media, even when you're wired as an introvert and being social per se is maybe not the place that you find your greatest strength to be. Listen, you're going to get a lot out of today's podcast with Heather. All right. Now, listen, before I get started, you know, I love to always give a big shout out to my podcast listeners. And today's is from Danny. She says, practical, refreshing, and kingdom focused. Matt's podcast has been such a breath of fresh air for me. I know lots of artists, but very few with kingdom mindsets. So navigating the art world has often felt very lonely. Matt's podcast reminds me that there are other creatives on a similar faith journey out there, and it's often lifted me up when I felt discouraged. I love the practical tips and down-to-earth conversations. It's been a huge blessing to my life. Thanks so much, Matt. Well, Danny, that just makes my day. I just want to give you a big hug, a big high five. Thank you for taking the time and writing that and leaving a review here. It really just means the world to me. For all of you guys that do that from time to time, just scroll down in whatever app you're listening to, write a review, tag us on Instagram, on Facebook, let us know that you did that. It really, really is a big, big encouragement. And it lets others know that the podcast could be an encouragement to them as well. All right. Well, Danny, thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to the podcast today. I'm going to get out of the way and let you listen to this really, really great interview with my friend Heather Hyman, all about how social media can work for you, even if you feel like you're wired as an introvert. All right, here you go. Well, hey there, my friend. I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. I've got my friend Heather Hyman all the way from South Carolina on the podcast today. Heather, I'm so glad you're with me.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here, Matt.
I know it. Listen, when I first heard about you and your podcast, and it's called Business, Jesus, and Sweet Tea, I said, Lord, how can we not be friends? I'm a Georgia boy, right. And so that everything that I care about is, if you had put Cracker Barrel in there, it would have been a little better. But I love it. I love it. Well, listen, good. For those folks who don't know who you are and what you do, you help folks do what they do better online. You're really an incredible social media teacher and coach and mentor. So for those who don't know you, just give us a little idea who you are and what you do creatively.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been in the digital marketing space for around 20 years. And I love the concept of using social media marketing as a way for people to build connection, build relationship with their exact ideal audience so they can have that authority, they can have the increased income that they're looking for in their business, and ultimately, as a believer, so they can make a bigger impact for Jesus. So I do come alongside Christian business leaders. I do also work with nonprofits, but I've got my own membership called Social Thrive Business Academy, where I'm working with people that want to actually have someone to help them so they can do it themselves. And then I have some done-for-you clients, and I wrote my book on social media. So like, this is my happy place, helping people really be able to forge great connections and relationships online and for it to increase their business.
I love that, because you said my magic word at the beginning of that, which is connection. Because I'm always telling artists, listen, nobody buys your art because they need it. Right? It's not a life and death purchase. They buy it because of connection, and to the degree to which you develop and increase that connection is the degree to which you begin to develop a niche of clients. And so I love that, because social media then is really just an extension of what we're doing. I think a lot of people, and maybe this is a way to get started, but a lot of people, you know, think about social media as the end all be all, but it's a tool, right, in our tool belt to reach our and develop relationships with our clients.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I love most about social media is I feel that it has lowered a bar from people that may not be in corporate America or huge brands. And it allows for you and myself and all of us to show up on this playground to really be able to really get beyond that 20, 30, 50 mile radius of where our business is. And it really affords us, depending on what your business model is, for us to really get out there and to serve well people that are interested in what we have to offer. And so I think social media is pretty cool.
Absolutely. I love it. I think to myself, if you had told me 10 years ago what we'd be doing in media and the amount of people that we'd be able to touch through Facebook, Instagram, podcasts, email, website, all this kind of thing, it really is mind-boggling how it is exponentially growing all the time. And how did you even get, I mean, you've been in digital marketing for 20 years. So what did that ramp up look like for you?
Yeah. So the short way for me to tell you this in 2 minutes or less is I was a special ed teacher who had worked at a grocery store all through college. And I ended up finding myself, I was married. I got married young. I was in college. And after being married almost 5 years and finding that the person I was married to said they didn't want to be married anymore, and I didn't meet their needs physically, emotionally, spiritually, or intellectually, and they asked me to move out. And so I found myself being 26 years old and devastated, and we had just sold our house and lived in college housing because he was getting his doctorate degree. So he was the student, and I pretty much like had to leave, and I was, other than just being emotionally and spiritually just feeling so heartbroken, I honestly physically was like, what am I going to do? And so I, at the time, was working at this grocery store full time, and I said, I need to move somewhere, but I have no idea, are there any jobs in the company? So they transferred me to Hilton Head, South Carolina. I started working 2 days after Thanksgiving. I was working 75 hours a week. I love people, but I was tired of working 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. Right. at night as the single girl who could take all the night shifts. And I ultimately ended up through this thing called ICQ a long time ago. I met the owner of a digital marketing agency in 2000, and he offered me a job with an $18,000 pay cut. And I was so excited, so I could work Monday through Friday, 8 to 4 again, which is what I had done when I was a teacher. So that's why I got into digital marketing, is really because I wanted to work normal hours. But I ultimately was on this journey of, in about a 2-year window, working for them, went from being the office manager to a project manager over huge corporate clients like Wilson Sports. And then I worked in the graphic design department and the web design department. So I kind of just got this like feet on the fire, on the ground training in digital marketing.
I love that, though, because the very thing the enemy is trying to use to take us out, God's using as a stepping stone to take you to the next place that he's got for you. And
exactly. Yes.
I love that. I love that. Well, listen, you know, we talk a lot about social media, building your clientele and your connection with folks, especially in the mentoring program, on my podcast, everything that we're doing. But one of the emails I always get from people is, Matt, you're great at all that because you're an extrovert and I'm an introvert and I don't do things like you. I don't do life like you do. So how do I thrive in social media when I'm an introvert? And I've heard you talk about this before. You really believe that introverts kind of have a leg up when it comes to social media.
I do. And I am an introvert at heart. Like, my happy place is being alone in my office. I don't even have music playing. And like, I love it. Like, that is my happy place. Now, that being said, I do like people. I'm not scared to talk to people. But at the end of the day, however you want to identify whether you are introvert / extrovert, I just think that social media is this resource for us, if you are an introvert, to really be able to shine. And a couple of reasons I think that is, one, if we as introverts believe that what we want to do in our business regarding social media is really just serving well about what it is that we feel that we've got expertise and passion for, that you can muster up the energy and the strength to get out there. Because no one's asking us to be social on a topic that we're not interested in. Right. So it's like, if we're here as leaders or as business owners or people that are scaling what it is that we were wanting to pursue, then that passion for what you are interested in doing in your business should, I feel, be a great driving force to be able to show up online. And you can say, I don't feel comfortable doing live video. Great. We'll record the video. Okay, yeah. You're nervous about, just pretend you're talking to Matt or pretend you're talking to one person and record the video. And like I tell everybody, if you've done it once, the first one's probably going to be terrible. So if I'm telling you that, that can maybe make you just feel better. But the 15th video you make, you're going to just suddenly start to just be more natural. And yeah. What I think is important to share is I don't think that there is this formula of a certain personality that you need to try to portray. So if you've got a dry sense of humor, embrace it, because you can't fake a personality type that you're not online. So I don't feel that
it will show through just like that, right?
Yes, you can't do that, you know? And so I really encourage people, you know, lean into exactly who God made you to be, but be able to just show up like you are alive. Right? You can have a dry sense of humor. You can be funny. You can be outgoing. But at the end of the day, whether you're making video content or you're recording a podcast, you're just creating social media content, you just have to know that the people that you are trying to communicate with are real people just like you that are showing up. And so embrace the idea of saying, I'm trying to get someone to stop scrolling. I want them to look at my content, and I'm just going to literally just be me and embrace it and show up well.
Yeah, that's so good. I was looking through some of my files the other day at the first Unlocking the Heart of the Artist e-course that I did back in like 2011. And I didn't even have anywhere to record. I'd gone up to my church and was like in some workroom that we set up with some bad lighting and all this kind of thing. And I was like, who let me on camera? I was like, this is horrible. But like the only way that you get better, like you're saying, is to do the ones that are going to be bad, not your best, whatever. You got to get through that. I was just talking to an artist the other day. He's like, everybody has a day one. Everybody has that first sketch in your sketchbook where you're like, it's not the best, but that's where I started, and I couldn't be where I am now if I don't do that. And I think for me, and maybe you could speak to this, I think that the moment that changed for me is when I quit trying to quote unquote sell or convince or be the shiny whatever online. And I was just trying to be me. I looked at the camera not as a group of people, but instead speaking to one person that was my ideal client. And that for me, when I could make that personal connection, I think for introverts too, that's when everything changed for me, because it felt much more personal and authentic.
Yes. And I think it also helps us, Matt, go from I'm creating a video or I'm doing this thing that I don't want to do that Matt said was a good idea, and I'm like checking a box, to saying I am actually creating something that's going to make someone else's life better or easier, or I'm going to inspire them. And so one of the things I think is cool, especially for introverts that may find some of this content creation and putting yourself out there, it might make you tremble a little bit, is I believe that bite-sized content is something that performs and does well on social media. So I'm not sitting here telling you that you need to go create, you know, go from nothing to a 45 minute training. Right. You can literally say, here are the top 10 questions that I get asked over and over, or here are the top 10 mistakes that people are making when it relates to this. So then I am going to simply create 10 pieces of content that address that specific thing. And maybe you've got a personal story, or you have a way that you can connect as a human being as you get ready to convey your smartness, and you can keep that in a really quick, short, again, you could do video, which I'm a big fan of, but right. even if it's not, what photo could you use to just really tell that story and allow yourself to be willing to be vulnerable, because you know it's not about you getting like a vulnerable point, but it's about you saying, if this can help someone else be better or be smarter, then I feel good about my efforts of embracing this.
Yeah, that's so good. Now you just jumped into a topic that I want to kind of uncover a little bit for people that both of us may kind of take for granted. I call it batching. You talked about creating 10 pieces of content right there at once. So that was one of the things I know that was overwhelming for me. And I hear it a lot from people. It's like, how do I create all this content, all that sort of thing? And I'm like, don't think about you having to do it every hour on the hour or whatever. Sit down and create a series of pieces of content and schedule that out so that it doesn't, you know, make you crazy or whatever. You can have a stream of consciousness through that. So what do you think about that? I mean, is batching something that you encourage people to do and as they're planning yes. their business and social media?
Yes. I've got a whole section in my book on batching because awesome. I am of the mindset that we all have the same 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
And that is something that we can't get back. And so for me, like, I want to spend more time with my husband and my kids, and sure. I want to spend less time in my office if I can work smarter. And so I am of the thought of half of it is it's brainstorming, and the other half is actually like the creation process. So I like to have like brainstorming sessions, and you can get so much accomplished even if you just set your timer for 5 or 10 minutes. But if you, for example, of what I just said, and you said, you know, what are 10 things that I get asked over and over and over again that I am smart about, that I can help people about, just coming up with what those ideas are is like half the battle. Sure. And you may come up with a list of 50, but then you can prioritize it with your skill set and your experience and say, like, these are really the top 10. So once you've identified, okay, these are the 10 things I'd like to make content about, then you can say, okay, I've got this. And again, you can say, Tuesday's my day, I'm going to make a video, or Tuesday's my day to get this all out of my head and maybe onto paper if I'm going to maybe more so write it out or blog it. And right. if you want to say, I'm going to have one day and go, oh, I went to all the effort and I look good and I've got my lipstick on and I've got my makeup on, then I personally, you don't have to, but I just like to change and have maybe 4 different shirt colors. So all yeah. my videos online aren't this bright red shirt. And then you can sit there and you could knock out all those videos. And again, the creating of it can just be a part of the piece. And then you can batch a different day where you say, I'm going to schedule these on Facebook and these are going to all roll out for the next, you know, X number of Tuesdays on whatever type of cadence that really works for you. And so I'm not here to say you need to do a video a day or a video a week, but I feel the more that we can train our audience to know that we are reliably here to help them, to serve them, and to make them better at what they're looking to us for, the easier it is for that following on social media to be strengthened.
Yeah, that's so good. Because people like that regularity, I think, of knowing that you're going to be, you know, giving out content. I just heard somebody the other day say, and I really, it was a shift for me as much social media as I do. They said, instead of thinking about social media like a consumer, think about it as, you know, because you're a producer of content. So have a plan, have a time frame, have a focus that you're doing. And it really kind of was like, oh, I'm not just some guy on Facebook that's putting things out there. No, I'm producing great content on purpose for my audience. And I think that's just a heart shift that inside is like, yeah, I've got something to give. This is important. I'm going to put some structure to it. And which kind of brings up the question then, and I know you hear this a lot, you know, Heather, do I have to be on all the social media platforms? Because there are so many singing platforms that are out there. And, you know, I know for me, I talk a lot just with artists about Instagram and Facebook, you know, in particular, because those are the ones that are kind of the most popular. But what do you say to somebody who gets overwhelmed with just all the choices that are out there today? Where to start?
Yeah. So one of the things I love to tell people is I want to release you today from any burden that makes you feel that you need to be in all the places. And here's why I say that. Most business owners that I'm meeting that are maybe either coming on social media for the first time or they're really just trying to get their bearings straight and get super solid. And if they find that they have 2 hours a week, they're spreading their 2 hours a week trying to be on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. And if I'm being honest, they look average and a little bit like a not super reliable business because they're halfway showing up everywhere. So I recommend businesses pick one top platform, and the way you know who to pick is where are your people already hanging out and spending the most amount of time? This is where you want to say, where are they? Okay, they're in that playground. That's where I need to go. And then you, as a business owner, be strategic. Make sure you've got the exact type of content that's going to really perform well on that place. But if you have, again, 2 hours, I would rather you spend 80% of your effort. And if it were Facebook for you, to be 80% on Facebook, you look real, you look legitimate, you look like this isn't a hobby, that this is a business. And then if you want to spend 20% of your time sprinkling something on Twitter so it looks like you're there for media purposes or whatever your strategy is, then do that. But don't take your 2 hours and divide it equally among all seven platforms, because depending on the size of your team, if you've got one, if you're just getting going, that can be a huge, overwhelming, and daunting feeling. And I would much rather you be successful on one than look average or poor on seven.
That's good. Now, I know one of the big things that came out several years ago, and it's still people are using them now, are these platforms. I won't mention any in particular, but that you can go in there and post once and it distributes it to all the different platforms at once. I've heard such mixed reviews over that over the years. I know I've been able to tell on my own algorithm studies, that it seems when I'm doing those kind of software distribution, or social media distribution softwares, as opposed to doing things organically in the software itself, I seem to get better results when I'm doing it organically. Do you have any thoughts on that, best practices? Because I think people that are trying to do it all, they're trying to use those kind of things, and it may be having the opposite effect for them.
So the first thing I'd like to say is I do not think it is a smart, effective strategy to post on a platform and go into the back end settings and say, hey, as soon as I post this on Facebook, I want this to auto post onto Twitter and I want this to auto post onto Instagram. And the reason I don't think that is a good idea is one, it doesn't look the same over on Twitter when you do that. It's literally like a link and it says .facebook.com, and it doesn't make you look good, I believe, on those other platforms. Though I believe your heart is to say, I want to help as many people as possible if I went to the effort to make this. So I don't like auto posting automatically on multiple platforms the exact same photo, the exact same image, because it doesn't look the same on the other platforms. And so, kind of as an alternative, I think that you are much better off having this idea of saying, yes, I went to the effort. I made this 3-minute video. It's great. I'm going to post this on Facebook with maybe this blog style type post on Monday. And then on Tuesday, if you, let's say, are on another platform like LinkedIn or another social platform, we'll then post that maybe a couple days later on a different platform, but your language and your messaging in that is not going to be the exact same. You just want to tweak it because you want the people that are following you on each platform to really believe that you're showing up on that platform, because the culture on all of them are not the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not here to bash third party schedulers. I use some myself, but I don't use them on Facebook because I truly have found through my own testing that it's worth it for me to take the time. I just use the scheduler within Facebook and I use it. But again, if I'm scheduling or if I'm repurposing content and posting it a similar photo, but maybe different messaging, you can still customize it for the different platforms and kind of keep yourself out of this idea of just looking like you're just trying to slap something up on social media.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I found the same kind of thing for me. I think the frustration, and maybe you can speak to this, is that, you know, these platforms and social media in general is changing all the time. The things that worked a year ago and 2 years ago don't work now or don't work as well now. So as you look at the landscape right now, Heather, what would you see are some of the things that are really working, that are really effective for people right now, say on Facebook or Instagram or any of the big ones that are out there?
Yeah. So the top thing I think right now is video. If you can do video, and I do think that bite-sized content, 3 minutes or less, is ideal for you to be able to get more free organic exposure. If live video traumatizes you, just start with a video that you've recorded. And right. If you are brave enough, or you're willing, or you want to do live video, I think that that is just a little bit higher than recorded uploaded video, but make sure you have a good connection, because sometimes you can have the best efforts and the last like extra stressor you need is this thing says you have a poor signal. Exactly. And you just mustered up all this energy to like go live, because that doesn't have anything to do with the content of what you're posting, but it can kind of rattle you a little bit if you were motivated to go live and then something right. like that happens. Another thing I think is really powerful is this idea of you not feeling that all the content that you post on Facebook needs to be yours. In fact, I think you can help your page perform better if you begin to look at bigger pages than yours that align with what you believe in or your philosophy or industry leaders, and you share some of their content. Some of the whole like Facebook juice kind of trickles down to your page, and it will help your page grow more when you're not the one creating like every single post yourself. And then the last and final thing, and this is Facebook, but all the platforms, is the more you can create content that's going to spark engagement will make Facebook happier. More people will see your stuff because Facebook says, hey, wait a minute. People are actually engaging with this post that Matt just did. So we're going to now actually push this out to more people for free. And even though that may have been a post of Matt saying, okay, guys, I just have to know in the middle of like all the craziness, what is your favorite pizza topping?
Right.
And you might be going, that's fluff. Like, I don't want that. But at the end of the day, the people that you serve, the people that you sell to, they could be vegan, but for the most part, they may be pizza eaters. And that is going to be something that's simple, that's mindless, that people can be saying, oh, I'm going to respond to this. I don't have to overthink. I just need to respond and say Italian sausage. And then you get all this engagement and traction. And then Matt's next post, which is maybe not about pizza toppings, but it's about him saying, hey, here's a new podcast episode. That next post is going to get more of a bump because of the other content that had the engagement. So I always like to tell businesses, especially if you're talking about Facebook, you're trying to accomplish your business goals of increasing your email list or increase your opt-in or get people to watch your video, but then you're trying to make Facebook happy. And so when you can play by Facebook rules and say, I'm also trying to accomplish my business goals, I've got to do what I think is going to make them happy. Because, for example, they don't like when you take people off of Facebook. So right. if you go audit your own page and you say, wow, the last 15 posts I've done, I have a link taking people off of Facebook. So you could say, wow, let me make Facebook a little bit happy. So I'm going to just ask a question. I'm going to give a testimonial. I'm going to make a video. And again, I'm going to do things of keep people on Facebook so they're happy, and then drop a link to taking someone off of Facebook. And it kind of is the balance of you trying to accomplish your growth goals and you making the platforms happy.
Yeah, it's so amazing. You know, so we have a Facebook group, our Thriving Christian Artists Facebook group. We've got like 21,000 people in that thing now, which is awesome. And it's funny though, from an algorithm standpoint, I'll post something that's important and you'll get like, wah, wah, you know. And then I'll post something like this morning. I posted, okay, during the quarantine, the coronavirus quarantine, do you get dressed every day or are you in your pajamas? And it's like, whoosh, hundreds of, you know. And I'm like, this is not the post I wanted. But I totally get what you're saying. It's making Facebook happy. It's building my reputation in that group and online. And that kind of starts to beg a question, Heather, of the, and I get this all the time from people, you know, personal profile versus business page. And I've always told people it's not a matter of either or, it's both and, because both of them have really, you know, important things that each of them do well, especially from an advertising standpoint and that sort of thing, and being able to retarget people for ads and all that. So what would you say to somebody that's maybe brand new or just stepping into this whole thing, and they're like, I don't know, do I need a business page? Can I just do this with my personal page? Where's that line in benefit?
Yeah, so I think everyone who has a real business, and if Facebook is a place that you want to show up, that you need to have the Facebook business page.
Yeah.
That being said, from a personal profile perspective, I am under the belief that if you are a business owner, and if running that business, or you maybe call yourself an entrepreneur, or whatever you identify as, if that's a big piece of your life, then that's going to be a piece that you incorporate on your personal profile. So I think a rule that I like to ask people is, how often do you normally post on Facebook? So I will totally put myself under the bus and tell you on my personal profile, like, non-business owner or not, I'm the type of person that's posting 5 times a day on my personal profile. So to me, it is not odd that one of those 5 is me saying, I just got done recording an amazing conversation right. with Matt, blah, blah, blah. I can't wait to see it. Or, oh, I just got a new client. That's awesome. Or, oh, I'm so excited to celebrate Sally. But it's like one out of every 5. And someone else that might be posting 4 times a month, well, that would be really odd if all 4 of those are all just business related. So I like to think of on your personal profile, I think it's 100% awesome for you to spotlight and talk about your business, but think of it as your sprinkling versus like you're making the whole, you know, thing on the profile. The main content is over here. And on my personal profile, I'm just sprinkling because it's naturally coming out because this is really important to me in a part of my life.
That's good. So you're the cupcake and your business posts are the sprinkle. I see, we're artists, we're visual. We got to have that Yay! In our minds. Well, Heather, oh my gosh, we could talk forever. And I know this has been so valuable for me and for my listeners. I know folks are going to want to take the next step with you, follow you on what you're doing on social media, get the resources that you have. So where's the best place that people can connect with you?
Yeah, I'd love for you guys, if you are podcast listeners, I'd love for you to check out my Business Jesus and Sweet Tea podcast. And if you're online, you would just go to sweetteasocialmarketing.com. And I'd love to connect with you there. I've got lots of free resources to help you, especially if you're just not quite sure what you should be posting on social media or you need social media strategy help.
Awesome. Well, Heather, what a pleasure it's been to have you on today. And I'm always loving to interview fellow Southerners and people that love sweet tea and Jesus and business. And so it's been a great opportunity to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.